Good morning.
Good morning.
If you have your Bibles this morning, turn to the book of Hebrews in chapter 12. Now, last year when I got up here, I gave a sermon and some people came up to me afterwards and said, well, it sounded like you put some people to task during your sermon. And Dr. Calhoun, when I went back there and talked to him, he said, you know, they're never going to ordain you in the church because you just told all these people they're not doing their job. So, this year, they've already ordained me. So all I can say is, let me offer some advice from all my years of working with Brother Pertweet. Put your toes under the pew. So here in Hebrews chapter 12, looking at verse 28 and 29, wherefore we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. Let us pray. Lord God, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for bringing us here where we can worship together. We ask that you would fill our hearts and our minds. Prepare us to hear your words, Lord. Let everything said this morning be pleasing to your ears. Amen. Yes. Now, how many of you know what an idiom is? An idiom, if the definition is a group of words established by usage as having a meaning not deducible from those of the individual words. Now, that's just fancy speak for meaning. It's a bunch of words that are together that really don't make sense unless you know what the phrase is. It's kind of like an inside joke. To anybody that knows what they are, you kind of go, oh, yeah, I know what that is. You know, the things like cut to the chase, that rings a bell, or leave no stone unturned. Those are idioms. You know, I love them. I like collecting them. I like looking up where they came from, things like that. Well, one of the ones that I'm sure that most of you are familiar with is where there's smoke, there's fire. What that means is if something looks wrong, then there probably is something wrong going on underneath it. There's probably something wrong happening there. So, the origin of the phrase, you know, well, we know if you see fire, there's going to be smoke. So it's just common sense. Well, actually, that's technically not right. So you can have smoke without fire. Because if you've got materials that are combustible and you take away the oxygen, if it's a low oxygen level, there'll be a whole lot of smoke rolling out from it. But there won't actually be fire that's going on there. So see, you can truly have smoke without fire. And I know a lot of you say, well, thanks there, Smokey the Bear. Thank you for that fire talk this morning. But what does that have to do with anything? Well, in the words of Brother George Holly, that's a good question. I'm glad you asked that. So I'm going to explain it here. So see, if you look out at the environment of the church these days, there's a lot of smoke that's going on, but there's not a lot of fire. And what I mean by that is churches are very visible in today's society. You see them on television. You see them on the radio. You see these big mega churches that have all these programs and all these things going on. And you go down to the church and they're having a youth group for this and they're having a youth trip for that. And they've got adults doing this. And there's a lot going on in the churches. And we see it everywhere. You got all these groups. You know, you got the singles over 60 group. And you got the moms and children that are trying to get in church. You've got everything going on. There's a lot of activity. You got Motorcycles for Jesus and the Church Jesus Association. All these things. And people are doing things in the name of the church. And some would say that's a good thing. Hey, there's people in the church. Isn't that a good thing? But you see, with all of that activity, there's something that's missing. Yeah, there's something that's going on. Your churches are being turned into theme parks. They're being turned into entertainment venues. They're showing movies, and they're having all these things come in here. That's a lot of smoke. There's a lot of activity that's going on. I've heard that there's a church that's building a McDonald's next door that's going to connect to the church building. There's another one that's considering putting a Starbucks kiosk in the back. So you can have your latte and your Jesus at the same time. It's entertainment. It's smoke. That's all there is a bunch of activity. But you know what's not going on in these places? There's no gospel. There's no Holy Spirit. It's not moving in the congregation. It's not moving amongst the people. You walk in there and you go in the doors and you open it up and all the people are smiling and they're all sitting down and they're dressed pretty and you look and you see the preacher, he's up there and everything looks good. There's screens and there's music and there's drums. But there's no God. It's cold. It's clean. And it's sterile. Because the Holy Spirit is not there. It's a bunch of smoke. It's a bunch of mirrors. It's an illusion of what's going on. And we see it all over the place. And unfortunately, it's not just these mega churches. It's not just these big places, these popular places with the names like the Spirit of the Lord, the Wings of the Dove. It's not those kind of places. It's all over the country. It's in the little towns, big and small, in the big city cathedrals, and in the small little church that's got three members that are coming. They're missing the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not burning there. That fire that was once blazing bright has burned down to embers. See, if you cover embers up enough, it'll still make smoke, but it's hardly burning. The church has pulled in on itself and the church has said, we're going to take care of ourselves, and if somebody happens to wander in the doors, that's good. But we're not going to go out and get them. We're not going to go out in the hedges and the highways. It's not worth it. They've already said, I'm not going to go to church. No matter what you say, I'm not going to go. So we give up and say, oh, well, they're not going to come. Let's just save the ones we can and forget everybody else. That's not the Spirit moving. That's not what we were called to do. God didn't say go sit in your churches and wait till I come. He said go out and get them. Bring them in. But we're not doing it. Our zeal and our passion for God is burned low. It's so small. I want you to look back at the spiritual revival that went on during the 1950s in America. Look back, and I know some of y'all lived through it, but on the Sunday morning in the period from 1955 to 1958, half of Americans were attending church. Half of America. 50%. Can you imagine what this country would look like if 50% of the people were going to church on Sunday morning? Think about it. That was a major movement. During the 50s, nationwide church membership grew faster than the population. Church membership went from 57% to 63%. 63% of Americans were a member of a church. What was going on during those days? You know, I think back to the church services that we had. When I was growing up, we were in this little church, and in the back were these two classrooms, and they were separated by those dividers, you know, those little plastic curtains that you would open up. And there were some Sundays that I can recall, they had to open up those classrooms because there were so many people in the church, they had to put more seats in there for them. Sometimes they had to go to the back, to the kitchen, and bring out folding chairs and put in the aisle. Amen. Because there were so many folks in church. When's the last time you had to put seats in your church so people could sit down? That's a good problem to have. But when's the last time we had that problem? It's been a while. You know, there used to be those Billy Graham specials on TV, and they would advertise it for 2 and 3 weeks, and everybody would be excited and say, oh, we're going to get together, and we're going to watch him preach. We're going to watch them. And everybody would get together as a family and they would sit down in front of the television and say, oh, Billy Graham's coming on. You're going to get some good singing and some good preaching. And then wherever the camera would pan around, they would be in a giant arena or a football stadium and there would be thousands, tens of thousands of people in there listening to a man preach the gospel. It was a major event. And then whenever the invitation was given at the end, thousands of people would stream down. They would have to have the stage covered and people to receive them. They were going down to get saved. And you would think, wow, I want to be a part of that. My stepdad told me he went to Veterans Memorial Stadium up there in Jackson. He said one time he came and he preached, Billy Graham preached, and he was there. He said, we were there for hours waiting for everybody to stop getting saved. He said, it kept going. I said, I'd be willing to sit there for 4 hours if it meant but folks got saved. But think about it. Where is that spirit? Where is that fire? Where is that today? Some folks will say, well, it's dead. It's not, you can't do that anymore. People don't like the church. People don't like to sit down for this long. Their attention spans are only 30 seconds. No. That's not true. People are not different. Yeah. That zeal is still there. That desire is still there. It's still present. There's no reason that our churches shouldn't be packed to the rafters every Sunday. Yeah. There's no reason that all of us shouldn't be having to build new buildings because there's so many folks. There's no reason for it. There's no reason we shouldn't have a spiritual revival right now in this country.
Amen.
There's nothing keeping it from happening except for the fact we decided to let that fire burn low. We let it burn. You look at the average age of the churches these days. From the age group of 55 and up, that's pretty much the majority of your congregation. You got the little young kids, and you got the little, every once in a while you have a married couple that has the young kids, but from 18 to about 35, we lose them. And a lot of them don't ever come back. Because all we're doing is maintaining. We're not giving them what they need. We're not building that fire within them when they go out into the world. You know, train up a child in the way he will go. When he's older, he will not depart from it. We are not training them up. We're just saying, okay, little boy, you can come to Sunday school, and we're going to take you down to the beach during the summer, and we're going to do this during Christmas, and okay, you're graduated, here's your Bible, go out into the world. We don't create that fire within them. We don't create that desire for the Word, the need for the Word. We become complacent. We become lazy. We become safe. You know, there's no reason we shouldn't be out saving souls left and right. Except we don't have the desire to do it. We don't have the fire burning there. And I know some of y'all are thinking, brother, every time you get in the pulpit, you sound negative. You sound like you're condemning us. Every time, you know, you're calling us a task, every time you get up in front of us, what's going on? You know, you always seem to be negative about the church, but it's far from that. That's not what it is. Our job as ministers and as elders, as leaders in the church, it's our job to find and to seek out the issues and the needs in the church.
Amen.
We're supposed to root them out and to find them and get rid of them and to solve them. It's our job to offer suggestions and guidance on how to fill the needs of the people. You see, make no mistake, there is a need in the church these days. There's a need in the congregation. There's a great hunger in the people. They're starving to death. When I talk to people about their spiritual lives, when I talk to them about their church, the answer that I hear most of the time is, I'm not getting fed. I want to be fed the Word. I'm not getting that spiritual food that I need. Too many preachers, too many pastors are preaching on what's popular, what the topic of the day is, not what's in the book. They're not preaching on the Word. We're commanded to preach the Word in season and out of season, to stay in the book, to preach this Word. And it's lacking, and people know it. Their souls know it. They're starving to hear the Word of God. And they're not getting fed. It's not being given to them. It just breaks my heart every time I hear it, because I know that out there in the world that there's such a need for God. All these people that are showing up at these churches and they go on these trips and everything else, and sometimes they just fall away and stop going. It's because they didn't get what they were looking for. And they travel to this church and to that church, and they go all around and they're looking for it. You know, they're looking for the Holy Spirit. They're looking for holiness. They're looking for that old time religion. That's what they're looking for. Brother Newton talked about it yesterday, that hellfire and damnation. People need to know the truth. They seek the truth. Because our God is the Spirit of truth. And His Word speaks to their hearts. And that's what they're looking for. They're not looking for the latest gadgets. They're not looking for the latest music or the latest songs. They're looking for that old time, out of the Bible, of the blood preaching. And that's what they're looking for. That's the need. Now, this is not a condemnation. I'm not saying people are doing it wrong. I'm not trying to point fingers. I'm not trying to say you're not doing it right. It's a call to action. It is an opportunity. It is not too late. The people can be saved. You know, you remember what I was talking about earlier about how fire, whenever you take the oxygen away from it, it makes all this smoke. Well, the fact of the matter is, when you pull oxygen out of that, that smoke is combustible. It's very flammable. All it needs is a tiny spark to burst into flame. It explodes whenever that little spark hits it. And in that same way, that's what all these events and all this activity and stuff we see around the church is. It's the smoke that's from a lack of oxygen. They're trying to fill the void of what they're needing. They say, well, maybe if I do this in the church and I have this activity, we'll feel God. Or maybe if we go over here and we talk about this and we sing this song, God will show up. Everything is there. Amen. Everything is ready. The opportunity exists. The conditions are right. All of the ingredients are there. All it takes is that spark to ignite that flame, to cause it to catch fire and to burn bright and to burn hard. That's all it needs. We need to humble ourselves to get on our knees before the Lord and say, Lord, consume me with your fire. Lord, burn me. Consume me with the passion for your Holy Spirit and for your people. Give me a heart to serve you. Amen. Consume me so that I can feed the flames of your church. Set my heart on fire so I can burn for you. That's what we need. See, when the fire of the Holy Spirit burns within us, He burns out all of those impurities. He burns out all the doubts. He burns out all the questions and all the fears that are within us. He ignites our heart with a burning passion to share the Word. And we're on fire for Him. And that fire, it can't be contained. It can't be put down. It overcomes us and it bursts forth outside of us there. And it starts to ignite others that are around us. When they see your fire, it catches them on fire. And they start living for Him. And then they go and catch somebody else on fire. And it starts spreading everywhere. And the fire, it can't be contained. It burns. And the Spirit is reignited. And it's a flaming passion that we share. And then when we all come together with our hearts on fire for God, when we all burn together, it spreads within each and every one of us. And it goes from person to person. It keeps spreading outward further and further. And from town to town and congregation to congregation and church to church. And it burns into a giant flame of the love of God. And it burns higher and higher. And there's no doubt that there's a flame burning underneath that smoke. Whenever we burn for the Lord, and we let His Holy Spirit take residence within inside of us. But we have to light the fire. We have to have the desire for the Holy Spirit. We have to seek Him out. A lot of us, whenever we got saved, we let Him in and He took up residence and then we forgot about Him. We pushed Him off to the side and said, well, Lord, one day I'm going to come back. And I'm going to live for you, but not today. One day, I'm going to come and I'm going to let you take over. Let you have control. but not today. What I'm here to tell you, today is the day. Now is the need. Now is the time where we need to be on fire for God. There's a need. There's a fire that needs to be lit under everybody and inside of everybody. And it's up to us to do. We can't leave it up to somebody else. You can't leave it up to other people in your congregation. You can't leave it up to other pastors. You can't leave it up to anybody else. You've got to do your part. Because if you light the fire in your church, somebody's going to say, hey, what's going on over there? What do they have that we don't have? They got the Holy Spirit. And then that's going to catch another church and say, hey, I'm going to try to do stuff like that. I want to do it the way you're doing it. I want my people to be like yours. And when they see that light inside of us, when they see that fire burning bright, they want a piece of it. They want that peace. They want to know, I want that security that you got. Because our God is a consuming fire. He consumes us. All that we used to be, He consumes that old man. And we're reborn again with that new heart and with a new mind, consecrated to His will and His service. That's what we should desire. Not a bigger church, not a more entertaining church, not even more numbers in the church, but a church that's on fire for God. When that fire burns bright enough and when that Holy Spirit is present and visible, people will come seeking it. Amen. You won't have to go out and get them. They'll say, hey, my neighbor, I don't know why he's at the church every time the door is open. Come on. Come on in. We need to light the fire. It's there. And it's ready. All it takes is for us to be willing to be the spark. And if we are, if we're ready to do that, and if we submit ourselves to God's will and we let that Holy Spirit shine within us, it'll light a fire once again. It'll serve as a beacon. It'll light up the sky. And it'll be such a pillar of flame that it's a signal to the lost and to the wandering to come back to church. And back to the embrace of our Lord. How is your fire this morning? Is it burning? Or do you need to throw a few logs on it? Reignite the flame within you. Let us pray. Lord God, we give thanks to you for your Son, for your saving grace, and for your salvation that you provided for each and every one of us, Lord. We ask that you would provide us a Holy Spirit, your Holy Spirit inside of us. That you will wake our hearts up, Lord. That you will prepare us for your service. That you will create in us a desire to share you with everyone we come in contact with, Lord. Let us not be ashamed of the gospel, but let us go proudly and boldly and proclaim you to all the world. We ask you to watch over the churches, watch over the people that are here, Lord. Please place a blessing upon the rest of this conference, Lord. Let everything done here be pleasing to you. Let us put aside our will and our desires in favor of yours, Lord, and let us always keep you at the forefront of our mind. Amen.